And now, a man who campaigned against Barack Obama in all 57 states, Mark Gillar.
Welcome to the Tea Party Power Hour. My guest today is Al Hendershot. Al is someone who's been looking into Barack Obama's Social Security number for over a year. He's also taken a look at some rather bizarre aspects of his real estate transactions and his tax returns. We're probably not going to be able to get into all of that today. But Al, first and foremost, welcome to the show. It's your first time here.
Good day, sir. How are you?
I'm good. Now, for people who may not know who you are, and this is your first time on the show, take a little bit of time telling us who you are, what you do, and how you got interested in Barack Obama in the first place.
Yeah, sure. I live here in the Birmingham, Alabama area.
Go Tide. And, Roll Tide, sorry.
I'm sorry?
I said Roll Tide.
Oh yeah, buddy, Roll Tide, man. I'll tell you what, as a matter of fact, I got my first few tickets for next season coming up, so I can't wait for that one.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm an Aggie, but whenever we don't pull for A&M, we pull for the Tide. So my in-laws are from the Tuscaloosa, sort of the general Tuscaloosa area. So
yeah, I'll tell you what, man, that Aggie game, it's already sold out, so forget it.
Yeah, I know. That's okay. I don't need to go to that one in person because I act like an idiot anyway, and I'm better off in the living room. I'm better off where nobody can see me on whenever the Aggies play, a real opponent like the Tide. But you're in Birmingham, Alabama. You're known for having investigated the Social Security card and connecting that, you say, to a gentleman named Bunnell. You know there are some people who disagree with you, and we'll get into that in a little bit. But before we even start diving into that, tell us what exactly it is you do for a living, how that ties in, and the very, very first time. The very first time, Al, that you became interested in possibly investigating Barack Obama, how all that came about. Go.
Yeah, sure. Well, I mean, I'm a debt collector and I'm a skip tracer, okay? And,
I know what a debt collector is, but what's a skip tracer?
Well, a skip tracer, whenever you have to find a debtor, okay, or basically, you know, even working with private investigators, whenever you need to find people, okay, you know, to actually find their whereabouts, you know, you basically, you know, you use skip tracing techniques. And what you do is, you know, you open up, you know, put into your databases that you use, you know, you put in their social security numbers, their addresses, and, you know, relatives and stuff like that, and then through the information that pops up, you know, you're able to discern their whereabouts, you know, where they work, you know, where they've lived. Who their neighbors are, who their relatives are, so you can contact a relative. Who their previous employers are, so you can contact your previous employers. You find them through their banking records, voting records, criminal background checks, everything probably outside of what PHIP will not let you look for.
Okay.
And a lot of the information already comes out of public databases anyway.
Did you say what PHIP will let you look for?
Because the databases, they don't show a lot of your medical history or anything like that. You know, it just shows a lot of your financial history and where you've worked at, how you voted, where you banked at, what your legal background is. Have you filed a bankruptcy? Do you have any court filings, any judgments, liens against you, whatever? So it's all of that information.
How does that differ from what a private investigator would be able to see with their databases?
I don't know. Some of the databases that a lot of the people use, some are proprietary, some are non-proprietary. And, you know, like a lot of people, I don't know, like, what's that one stuff called, like Spokio and stuff like that, and a lot of internet databases that you pay like $20, $30 a month for, and you can look stuff up through there. I don't really know because, I'm not a private investigator.
Okay.
You know, so it's a big difference. I mean, I work with them, and I pull stuff up for them. But, I mean, I don't know exactly what brand of databases they use.
Now, I think you mentioned to me once that you do some repo-type work as well. Does that just sort of tie in with being a skip tracer and a debt collector?
I just do the repo work because I like it. So.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, I was out spotting cars last night, 3 o'clock in the morning, for some repos.
Did you get one?
Actually, I did. I repoed a pickup truck last night.
Okay, so you're used to people, like, wanting to shoot at you and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
now we know what you do. I know you worked with Jerome Corsi on some things for a long time, but I'm guessing you probably became interested before you even talked to Corsi for the first time. So tell me, what was that light bulb moment?
I didn't even know who Jerome Corsi was, to be honest with you. I mean, I don't have time to sit there and read books all night like other people do. I'm too busy working, so. And I was actually skip tracing somebody. I was skip tracing a lady, as a matter of fact, who lived up in Chicago. She had some credit card debt. And it was out of stat account, but I was still going to go ahead and try to collect on it anyway, see if I could reopen that file, you know, so I can kind of make some money on it. And there was about three people living up there in Chicago, and I pulled up this one lady's name. And the records go back to about the mid-'80s, okay, because you know, that's when people started scanning documents, you know, into these databases. And some of them even go back a little bit further, but lo and behold, one of her neighbors is Michelle Obama.
Hmm.
I go, you got to be kidding me. You know, I'm sitting there smoking my cigarette, you know, drinking my coffee, trying to stay awake. And so I said, well, you know what, I'm going to come back to this here in a minute. But I went ahead and I tried to finish, you know, making the trace on this lady. And but hell, I never got a dime out of her anyway, so it doesn't matter. And but anyway, so I went on through, you know, the rest of my skip traces that night. And figured, what the hell? You know, so I pulled up Michelle Obama. And found her address there in Chicago, all of her neighbors, you know, and this, that, and the other thing. And I said, okay. You know, then it said relatives. So I clicked on relatives, and the only relative that pulled up was obviously, you know, was Barack Obama.
Okay.
And I clicked on Barack Obama. You know, that's when in his little database pull, that's when it pulled up that Harrison J. Bunnell thing. Okay.
Okay. Is it common for multiple names to come up on things like this or not?
No, it's not. The only time multiple names come up is when they're associated with the same Social Security number. Now, there could always be a typo,
mm-hmm.
Okay? You know, there could always be, you know, some kind of anomaly that does that. But when you know the person's Social Security number, which at that time I didn't, okay?
How did you actually find out his Social Security number? Because that seems like something that the president would want to keep guarded.
Okay. Well, I mean, it was common. I went to the Internet. Okay, so I'm on one of my laptop, and I keyed in Barack Obama's Social Security number, thinking it was going to be there. Okay, like I said, I didn't even know anything about this stuff.
Hmm.
I didn't care, to be honest with you. I didn't care, and because I'm one of those people, if it doesn't affect me, I could care less. I'm on my own business. Okay, but you know this is different. Okay, so I'm keying in Barack Obama's Social Security number, and then it pops up on the internet. Okay, the 04268445. Now, my software that I used. That I was using at that time, it only shows the first five. It doesn't show the last four because it keeps it X'd out for, you know, for security purposes. Now the system automatically defaults to the last four at the X's, you know, so that way you can still trace with the Social Security number, but you can't see the numbers. They just keep it. They just do it that way. So I key in my system, Chicago. You know, I key in, you know, they're in the name Illinois. And do you want to see the video that I made of it?
I don't want to stop and do it right now, but
okay.
What we can do is we can post that as a link on Blog Talk, and then everybody listening to this right now can actually watch it.
Okay, because I sent you two videos. I sent you one where I recorded a conversation with Congressman Bill Posey's office and also sent you the live database poll that I made pulling up Obama's number. But I keyed in 04268445 into my system, and then it pulled up Bunnell and Obama. Okay, and I'm saying, what the hell's going on here? Okay, as you know, so I'm thinking, hell, somebody's using his Social Security number. Okay.
So you're thinking somebody's using Obama's number at this point?
Yeah. I mean,
someone's
that's what
ripping
I'm
him off. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, because that's just me coming from, you know, from a debt collector, skip tracer point of view.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just me giving this guy the benefit of the doubt. So I go down, I open up the Harrison J. the Harry Bunnell data. I pull it up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now it's showing 5046 South Greenwood, 04268-4425 Social, you know, all this stuff. Then I said, oh, what the hell? I click on relatives. Well, there it goes. It pulls up Michelle Obama as a relative of Harry Bunnell. I go, what the hell's going on here? So then I click on Harry Bunnell's collectability score, which was one of the files that they used, you know, to verify addresses. So there it is, 5046 South Greenwood Avenue, address of Harry Bunnell. Okay, so, you know, people say, well, that might be a lawyer, it might be an accountant. No, it's not, because I've already searched. Did a lawyer search, you know, legal search, you know, for attorneys, Harry, but there's nobody.
Okay, so this isn't someone acting on Barack Obama's behalf legally, and somehow the number got associated with them, is what you're saying.
That's actually the avenue that I went to, so that way I could actually verify that it wasn't him.
Okay.
So I was actually out to help. You know, I was actually
You thought somebody had committed identity fraud and that they were, or identity theft, and that they might be somehow damaging the President of the United States, and you were trying to help Barack Obama at this point.
Well, I still wouldn't care, you know, because, I mean, you know, he has his own things to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
I was just being curious.
Oh, okay.
You know, so I'm just really wanting to see, you know, what was behind it. When I hit the collectability score, it still pulled up Barack Obama. And then, I sent you that link, you know, with the images, you know, from what I pulled. When I look into the address, 5046 South Greenwood, he doesn't own it, okay? And
who does own it?
There's a trust, okay? It's trust number one. Hold on.
Yeah, we don't have to know the exact number. Just the trust. This is trust.
But it's a 1-0 trust. It's a real estate. It's a REIT. It's a real estate investment trust that owns the house. Okay. Barack Obama doesn't even own a blade of grass in that house. He doesn't own anything.
Well, but do you know for certain that he doesn't? That's not his trust, or that he's not involved with the trust somehow?
No, sir. The trust is owned by another company. Now, the Northern Trust Company sold it to them, and I'm going to send you all that information for our second interview. I'm going to send you all the information that.
Okay. Yeah, I know you wanted to focus on that at a later time, but I'm just intrigued by the idea that the President of the United States doesn't even own his own house. I mean,
no, sir. He does not own the house, and he never paid the trust itself. The Northern Trust Company did the trust for the Northern Trust Company, which did the mortgage for the Northern Trust Company.
Now, this is, just so people at home will know what we're talking about, this is that same piece of property that was adjacent to a empty lot that was owned by real estate person Tony Resko.
Yeah.
And Tony Resko sold, or at least my understanding is he sold Barack Obama a sliver or a third or something of his lot, which made the lot that was remaining, the remaining piece of property, too small to build on based on the requirements of that area, whether it's the city or the homeowners association or whatever. Basically, the piece of property adjacent to Obama now is worthless. So it's almost the equivalent as of if Obama has all this nice vacant property next to him and he only had to pay for a tiny amount of it.
Yeah, well, you know, he never paid the $104,000 for it.
Who paid it?
Rita Resko did a deed in trust, okay, you know, to the to Northern Trust Company. And the only thing Barack Obama paid was just a transfer tax on it. That's it. Because there's no mortgage record for that property at all.
I realize this is a future show, but what I understand, and we'll just kind of tease listeners for, you know, a future opportunity, is that essentially, let me find a good way to put this, Obama has taken certain tax deductions for that property as if he is the owner. You're saying he's not the owner. Therefore, you're also saying when he took those deductions, he committed tax fraud.
Tax fraud, because he's using a bogus Social Security number, taking tax deductions on a property that he doesn't even own. As a matter of fact, his accountant, Harvey Weinberg, and a judge, Jane L. Stewart, a probate judge, I mean, you get where I'm going with this, are listed as owners in the database pulls that I made on the property. I did a collectability score on Obama and his wife. They don't own anything because they would have showed up. They have no mortgage, nothing.
So, and you're certain that he doesn't own the trust that owns the trust, so to speak?
I would bet your life on it.
Yeah, I know that. I understand that, but do you know that?
I called Cook County. Actually, you can even pull up the mortgage on the property to the Cook County Recorder of Deeds. You can actually view the mortgage. Their signatures aren't even on that mortgage. Nothing. Not even a stinking initial. Nothing.
In your experience, in your line of work, Al, how often is homeownership done this way? Because here I am, I'm just a everyday kind of guy. So when I buy a house, my wife and I go to the bank and we take out a loan and we buy a house. That's the way I think it's normally done. But among the wheelers and dealers, is this common to have a trust owned by a trust and all this nonsense?
No, it's not. It's impossible because when I bought my house, I've been over backwards, okay? I did everything but stripped down naked, you know, going to the office, you know, just letting the lawyers look at me. They pull your Social Security number. They pull all your financial records. They pull all your work history. I mean, they pull everything, everything. So that way you can get security for that loan. But how can you get a loan if they can't process your Social Security number so that way they can verify who you are?
Okay, so now you've given us a little bit about what we're going to discuss on a future show. So you've told us how you first got interested in this stuff. Now, one of the things, And again, I'm going to bring up Susan Daniels because she was on the show, and that actually prompted your phone call to me. She feels like you might be rushing to, I don't mean to speak for her, but I'm summarizing, you might be rushing to judgment because she has concerns that, well, this could be a typo, you know, this could be incorrect information, and she doesn't seem prepared to say that, you know, this Bunnell person, whenever they were, is the exact number, the exact Social Security number that Barack Obama is using.
Yeah.
She likes to point out that she's got access to private investigator databases that you don't have access to, and she just thinks you're kind of leaping ahead, taking an inductive leap that might be a little bit too far a jump. What's your response to that?
Nah. I mean, prove me wrong. My blog has been out there now for 2.5 years, okay, since 2011. Everyone's had a chance to look at it, okay? I did another interview in 2011. Close to a million people have watched this video, okay, with True News. And to this day, no one's been able to prove me wrong. I mean, I even have an open challenge to anybody to prove me wrong on this, okay? Now, if Susan Daniels could, she probably would have done it by now, okay? I mean, I haven't even talked to Susan Daniels in over a year.
Okay.
Okay, and Susan Daniels, actually, she's pissed off at me right now because I taped a phone conversation with Bill Posey's office, dragging the truth out of them, okay?
Why would that upset Susan Daniels?
Oh, because they think that Bill Posey's on their side, that he's, you know, he's their only little contact they got for bringing Obama up on charges in front of the United States Congress, and that's not going to happen.
Okay, I wasn't even aware of all that activity going on, but okay, now at any rate, well, talk to me about the Bill Posey conversation. What did you get out of that you feel helps confirm your story?
Well, Alabama has a very unique law that I can actually tape. I actually tape record my phone calls, okay, that I make with my debtors. And I actually tape it that way. If I have to, I can transcribe it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I mean, I don't care what I don't care if I'm calling a $5 debt, I'm going to tape it.
It may be a $5 debtor, but if they end up suing you, it's going to cost you a lot more. So that's just protecting yourself.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so I actually did, what's his name, Commander Kirshner. I'm sure you know who Charles Kirshner is.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Well, Charles Kirshner was in on this. Okay, not on a phone call, but what I did was I actually did a live database pull. Charles Kirshner was in on that call. I had a few other people on there, too, okay? And Charles Kirshner saw me pull that live database showing and proving Harrison J. Bunnell, Barack Obama, because I keyed in Obama's Social Security number and pulled up Harrison J. Bunnell. And George Sakala, which was Bill Posey's press secretary, I don't know if he's still there now or not, I don't know. But he was in on that phone call, too. Jerry Corsi, he just caught the tail end of it, and I invited a few other people, too, but the fact that remains is that Commander Kirshner can verify because he sat there and he watched it too, along with George Sakala from Bill Posey's office, saw me do the video pull, or saw me do the live database pull, okay? And that pull I showed them, which is actually the video that I sent you, okay? It showed, I keyed in Obama's Social Security number, there it was, Harrison J. Bunnell pulled up. I did the Bunnell thing with the relatives, Michelle Obama pulled up.
And we will be posting, for those of you listening, we will be posting the link to that video so you can see exactly what Al's talking about when he says he pulled it up live. So, go ahead.
Right, so a week later, I call this guy back, and then he gives me this real nasally, weaselly voice, you know, saying, well, I showed it to him, we didn't talk about it that much. I thought he was saying BS, come on, give me the truth, okay? You know, so then I have to start pulling answers out of this guy. And if Susan Daniels, you know, she's sort of thinking that I'm leading this guy on to get answers, you know, because now they're afraid that I'm going to ruin whatever opportunity we have to have them help us. They're not helping us because I got it on recorded on my computer, you know, so, you know, a couple other people have it, where he says, well, we don't want to get him this way. We want to work it through elections. Why don't you get people on Jerry Corsi and, you know, do your lawsuits or whatever?
Well, I hear that a lot, Al. Let me say this. This is certainly an area where we have some common experience. When I talk to aides, for example, a local congressional representative, what I heard back in 2011, 2012 was, well, let's just get him out of office with the election. This is the kind of thing that if we went public with it, it could cost us the election. And guess what? We lost anyway, okay? And a lot of the people that, like Alan West, who wouldn't bring up the issue because he was afraid someone would think that he might be wearing a tinfoil hat and that, you know, he was crazy, ends up getting voted out anyway. And now that Alan West is no longer in office, he's still a coward and still won't touch this issue. It's disappointing, but the story that you're telling me with Posey has repeated itself over and over again with so many different members of Congress. It's really a shame, Al, that in all these conversations, there's never been one of them discuss what's best for the American people. All we hear is I might not get reelected, or I may not be able to get back into public office, case of Alan West, but nobody is saying this is what we need to do to adhere to the Constitution. This is what we need to do to see that justice is done. This is what's best for the well-being of the American people. It's pretty much a self-centered, myopic approach where, well, how does this affect me personally and my career? So what it amounts to is that a number of people, and you just mentioned Posey, I wasn't party to that, but I've certainly been party
and
to other,
Spencer Backus.
Yeah, I've certainly been party to other congressional representatives who would not lift a finger to help. And what it amounts to, and whether it's a member of Congress or it's Sean Hannity or it's Glenn Beck or it's Bill O'Reilly or you name it, these people feel like they're making a choice between, do I help America and risk all the money I'm making going away, or do I just keep my mouth shut and hope nothing ever comes of this? What they don't realize is if they don't help save America by doing the right thing, those big paychecks are going to go away anyway. But they don't get that right.
Well, this is the way I look at it, Mark. And, I mean, I understand what you're saying, okay? And I can understand why Susan Daniels, why she would be upset or worried, you know, that I pushed them, you know, to not so much in a wall, but, yeah, I'm a debt collector, you know, so I'll get my information one way or the other. Okay? I mean, I don't owe Bill Posey anything. He's not even my congressman. He doesn't put the food on my plate, right?
I assume he
doesn't. Daniels doesn't put food on my plate either. I've never even met the woman. I actually, in 2011, I offered to go up there to see her at my own dime to show her the evidence that I had because I wanted her opinion. She said, no, don't worry about it. So I don't know Susan Daniels would say.
Well, I wasn't suggesting that you did.
Oh, no, no, but I'm just saying that myself.
I think what bothered her.
I'm sure you're a nice lady. But
she's a nice lady, but let me just say this. I think one of the things that bothered her is that early on, she did confirm that she did run one check that showed Bunnell at that address in Chicago that you and I have already discussed today. However, stories started surfacing that Daniels confirms Hendershot's work. Her thought is there are typos that can cause these things. Sometimes the database has an error in it, and
yeah.
She wasn't prepared to totally endorse your work based on one hit on one database, and she feels like that her work on that and the fact that she got one hit was taken out of context to suddenly represent her as having fully supported your Harrison J. Bunnell theory.
Well,
and
I never saw that or heard it.
Okay,
okay,
that's perfectly okay, but I'm just trying to get this to you from her side. She feels like it's been misquoted in the matter. So that might explain some of her opinions on this. So,
okay.
Yeah, so well, anyway, that's really something for the two of you to work out, but there was a statement made by her that she did not agree with that, and I felt like since this is your theory, you certainly deserved equal time to come on and tell us who you are, what you're about, how you got into this. And the other thing is,
this is the whole thing too, though, Mark. Okay, I mean, I want to interrupt you, but I want to get this out before I forget about it. Okay.
Okay.
There's a lady. Her name is Leslie Bishop Paul, and she discovered. Now, this woman here, she is a genealogist. Okay, I mean, she's been doing this stuff for like 20 years. Okay, so. And she found a Harry Bunnell in a 1940 census. Now, this guy was born in 1890, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He was born in 1890. Same date as the year that Susan sent me one database poll that showed a little 1890 written on it.
Now, that is true. Now, that seems to be the one area where you guys are in full agreement, is that we all agree that Obama's Social Security number was once used by somebody who was born in 1890, probably,
correct.
And apparently they got their card in Connecticut. But go ahead.
Right. So Leslie contacted me, and she says, hey, I found this. Okay. And I said, whoa, interesting. Okay. Because I didn't even thought about it, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah. Was this person shown as age 50?
50.
Okay. Very good.
Hence the date of birth at 1890. Okay.
Right.
Harry Bunnell. I mean, come on. I mean, this is, I'm like, you got to be kidding, right? I mean, that's how, so at her own expense. At her own expense, she does a FOIA with the Social Security Administration.
Okay.
Okay, and remember, now that's the letter that I told you, you know, to look for in my article, remember? And that's a FOIA letter that she got back from the Social Security Administration, verifying that they cannot release the information for the security of the person.
Now, what did she specifically ask for? Because my listeners aren't looking at that letter. I can post that, but for right now, just explain her FOIA request and what she was asking
for.
Sure.
She did a FOIA request, okay, using Harry Bunnell, the date of birth of 1890, and the Social Security number, 042-684425, period. No Obama, no 1961, no August, what's his birthday, August 1st or something like that, you know, no...
August 4th.
August 4th, okay. When somebody's 120 years, when they're past 120 years, mm-hmm. okay, the Social Security Administration, but they don't protect that information when once you reach past a certain age.
Okay.
Okay, I mean, because I could pull up information all day long and the death index files, you know, there for, and it just pulls up people's Social Security numbers, but why would she get a letter back if that number did not coexist with that name? And it's called a numidec. Okay, because if the information that she sent in didn't match the record, she would have gotten a letter back from the Social Security Administration saying that her request didn't match the records on file.
Let me just say
that's
this. Let me provide you some support on that. The same thing holds true with the Department of Health in Hawaii. The way their laws work, if you ask for a certain piece of information and it doesn't exist, they have to tell you this information doesn't exist. However, if they have it and they're not going to give it to you, they have to say you do not have access to this or we cannot release this to you. So we've kind of been through some similar word games with
right.
the Hawaiian Department of Health. But again, to clarify for the listeners, because they said they can't release it, instead of saying it doesn't exist, that you believe is confirmation that it's there.
Anybody with half a brain would say that, yeah. I mean, that's the whole thing, because if it didn't exist, then you're going to get a letter back saying that it doesn't exist. Not some legalese mumbo-jumbo from the Social Security Administration office, you know, trying to cover something up.
Well, forgive me for putting this into little tiny baby steps, but we're both familiar with this, so it's easy for us. And for somebody who's listening and probably watching TV or having a cup of coffee at the same time, they're just trying to break it down so that when we say the wording was they're not going to release it, that for all practical purposes, they just gave us a verification that it's...
Yeah, and hold on, I'm about to pull up for you right now. I'm going to read you exactly, not the whole thing, but...
Please.
I'm going to pull it up here in a second. Dude, every time I look at this stuff, I'm starting to grind my teeth every day.
Well, it's upsetting. I think the biggest part of it is that people aren't willing to engage in a factual debate about this. The obots, if you will, like to smear people. If you look at some of the stuff, I mean, one of these guys I know for a fact is well-educated, but if you looked at some of the emails that they've sent and so forth, it's communicating with incredibly bad language, and they just engage in these Saul Alinsky-type attacks because that's what they do. Now, I can tell you this. They do seem to be much more nervous than I've seen them in a long, long time. You can draw your own conclusions from that. I personally don't really worry about them very much. I mean, my thought is they're not relevant because what's going to happen is going to happen, and they can sit there and whine about it all they want to, and nothing is going to stop it, Al. And my thought is right now they're whining and saying it's not true, and then after it happens, they're going to be making a gazillion excuses. Well, yeah, he had to do that because, and yeah, the birth certificate was forged, but it was forged with information that was on an affidavit put out by Madeline Dunham in 2006. So the information was still legit. It's just the document that was forged, blah, blah, blah. You know, you could almost hear it now. I mean, you know.
I'll tell you what that is, Mark, okay? You know what, and I think we talked about this last week, you know what belief disconfirmation paradigm is, right?
We talked about cognitive dissonance.
It's actually associated with it. It's a form of dissonance, okay, that's aroused in people when they're kind of confronted with information that is inconsistent with what they believe to be a fact or truth. So it's like it was for me. That first, I'm looking at this paradigm and I'm thinking, Can this be? Okay. And if you're not privy to databases, if you're not privy to the expertise or to the background that I have as a skip tracer, or that Susan Daniels has, you know, God bless her, as a
private investigator.
Yeah, as a private investigator. Or if you're not privy to the background that, let's say, my friend Jerry Corsi has as a writer, when you don't have that experience, you're loosely basing your opinion based on information from others without seeing it yourself firsthand. And so this is the issue that I think is going on. And I'm going to say this maybe with Fox News, people like Hannity and O'Reilly. Okay, they're going by what their researchers tell them. They're not sitting back in our shoes or even talking to us in order to look at the evidence, because it's going to erode, you know, their disconfirmation paradigm, you know, that they have. And they just don't want to deal with it. Now, people like MSNBC, they love Obama, so they're not going to listen regardless. That's the issue right there, you know, with a lot of people in the mainstream media. It's fear, okay? It's fear of being labeled a radical. It's fear of being labeled a birther. I'm not even a birther. I don't care where he was born.
Well, that okay? You could add me to that list, because at this point, and I know you're not here to talk about the long-form birth certificate, but once you have proof that a document has been altered, a felony's been committed. And
yeah.
If you commit a felony, you're no longer eligible to serve as President of the United States. A lot of people overlook the Selective Service card. That thing is more blatantly forged than the long-form birth certificate. And if you don't register for Selective Service by a certain age, if you're a male in the United States, you are legally prohibited by federal law to hold any position in the federal government within the executive branch. You can't do anything. You can't get a job at the post office. You can't get a student loan. So anyway, there's all kind of evidence here, and what really ticks me off, and I know you say they rely on their researchers, and I know Glenn Beck relies on STU, which I always thought stood for Stuart, and then I basically came to the conclusion that it stood for stupid, because it damn sure doesn't stand for stupendous. The guy is an idiot. He doesn't know the first thing about the birth certificate. He just makes stuff up as he goes along. And then Glenn Beck relies on this guy to be his birther researcher. What I can tell you, Al, is I'm with you. I don't care where he was born. We're way past the point of it mattering where he was born. If he stole an identity from someone, and you know, you and Susan Daniels can probably get into a wrestling match over whether it's Bunnell or not, but if he's stolen an identity from someone, that's against the law. He can't be president. If the Selective Service card is forged, he can't be president. If he's essentially using a long-form birth certificate that was amended something like 45 years after he was born, he's basically creating a birth certificate out of a late filing or out of amendments that were filed decades after he was born, and they didn't put late filing or amended on the birth certificate, that's a crime. So
okay,
I don't care. Yeah, I don't care.
No, partner, you're preaching to the choir.
Yeah, I know.
It's nice to hear someone think like I do.
The thing is, Al, they try to label us as birthers, and what they want to define a birther as is somebody who believes that Barack Obama was born in a little bitty tiny hut in Kenya, because that sounds so ridiculous.
Okay.
Naturally, anybody that thinks that, they're going to say should be wearing a tinfoil hat, and you don't believe man landed on the moon, yada, yada, yada. That's how they want to paint birthers. But the fact is, most people that are in the eligibility movement, which is what you and I are doing, couldn't care less where he was born. Go ahead.
Well, here's something for your listeners, okay? I did about 100-some-odd pages dossier on Obama's family, okay? His uncle, have you heard about Obama's brother, Malik?
I've seen a picture of Malik.
Okay.
I don't know much about him.
Dude,
I follow George.
Social Security number.
Say that again?
Yeah.
Say
Obama's
it one time.
Brother, Malik.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a Social Security number from D.C.
What year?
Oh, man, don't make me pull that file up.
No, it's not necessary. No, because it's going to create too much lag time in the interview.
Yeah,
but
it's from the 1980s, okay? Now, dude is an illegal alien. How did he get that Social Security number? How did five of his relatives share the same damn number?
So you're saying that five of Obama's relatives are sharing the same Social Security number?
Hell, yeah. Same address and everything. Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. The thing is, a number like that could be sold five times over. You see what I'm saying?
Well,
yeah.
Now, tell us, can you tell me off the top of your head who these relatives are that are all sharing? Now, you said Malik is
Obama.
One of them.
All cousins, nieces, nephews.
All have the same Social Security number.
About four or five of them did, yeah.
Now, it's not a case where they all lived in the same residence at once and somehow they were accidentally associated with that number, Al?
No, impossible. They all
okay.
got different addresses.
They all have different addresses and they share the same Social Security
yep.
number.
Obama's
wow.
brother, Malik, has that Barack H. Obama Senior Foundation or whatever the hell that thing is, you know, and he's over there and back in Africa. But yeah, that for how he got it, I have no earthly idea.
It's too bad you don't have to give a DNA sample when you get one of those.
Oh man, it's unbelievable. I mean, this guy's family's something else. I mean, they're experts at this. Okay. And
I always got the idea that the Dunhams really knew how to milk the system, if you know what I'm saying. Because here's a woman that was flying back and forth to Indonesia, for example, but at the same time, Barack openly admits that as a student, she was on food stamps. So my thought is, if you've got the money, because I know you can't buy an airline ticket with food stamps, if you've got the money to fly around the world, and let's remember this, Al, because a lot of our listeners are younger. In the 1960s, being a member of the jet set really meant something. Only the wealthiest of the wealthy flew around the world. And for her to have money to do that in the 1960s, but to have to be on food stamps while she was a student, that doesn't really add up to me. What that is exactly what you just said. Some people that really know how to work it.
That's the whole thing. It's, you know, it's, I mean, they're experts at working the system, okay? And look, I mean, everybody knows that he grew up in Hawaii. Everybody knows that his Social Security number's from Connecticut, okay? I mean, I tore that place apart through that database, and I found nothing that linked his father to ever living in Connecticut, okay? Now, his uncle, Omar, has a Social Security number that was given to him in the 1960s when he was here on student visa.
Okay.
I mean, I did a thing on his Uncle Omar and his Aunt Zatuni. And Aunt Zatuni has a Social Security number that was issued to her from Indiana. And she lives in Massachusetts, so you go figure on that one.
I know that according to the Hawaiian Police Department, at least the ones that had been in the department long enough to know, at one point in Hawaii, the mafia was selling Hawaiian birth certificates to people all over the world, just because I guess that was an easy place for somebody to get a fake birth certificate because of how sloppy they are. So here you have Social Security numbers being doled out like candy as well. So, interesting.
Well, this is the whole thing. Now, the dossier that I did on Aunt Zatuni is on my website. The dossier that I did on Uncle Omar is on my website. The dossier that I did on George Soros is on my website.
I haven't seen that. What can you tell us about George while you're here?
Oh, my God. Dude's got more money to shake a stick at.
I think we all knew that.
Well, he's a naturalized American citizen. I mean, dude has his own Social Security number, too.
Okay.
And
well, that's okay if you're naturalized, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, dude's clean. I mean, he's got he's got one judgment against him, but that's like back in the 90s.
Now, come on, if you're in business, you get judgments against you all the time. I mean, I've worked for some high rollers. Suing and being sued is just part of being in business.
No, but Soros is clean, and but Uncle Omar and Zatuni. I'll send you the database I got on Obama's family.
Okay, now
I mean
we're
it's kind of long, but
well, we're gonna post some of this stuff. So what I need you to do, and you've already sent me some of the links, is on the Blog Talk site. We're just gonna let people, and you know, you're kind of like me. I think I always tell people I don't want you to believe anything I'm saying. Okay, it would be wrong for me to ask you to believe me, but I'll throw the information out there, and you look at it yourself. You investigate it 9 Ways to Sunday, and in the name of transparency, which I know you told me before the show you're all about transparency, let them come to their own conclusions.
That's what I wrote in my very first article. I do not want this to be true. That's what I wrote in my first article. So I tell you, prove me wrong, please. But nobody's been able.
Yeah, and the thing is you know, Lord Monckton, the British climate skeptic, does the same thing. He starts his presentations by saying, I don't want you to believe anything I'm saying. So you said before the show and when we talked last week, you're all about transparency, so you're going to live up to that. We're going to post some of your stuff, and people can take a look at it, review the data for themselves, and draw their own conclusions. And I don't think you can do more than give people the information and let them find out for themselves what the truth is. Now, you said, and we are pretty much out of time right now, but we're going to have you back at some point, and we are specifically going to discuss tax fraud.
And the real estate fraud. And I want to say something, too. Jerry Corsi has done so much to bring this out in the open, and people have done nothing but spit on this man. They spit on him. And, I mean, I've been spit on. MSNBC called me a Confederate. MSNBC.
A Confederate? Were you waving a Confederate flag when they said this? What led to
Yeah, kind of, because when I had my lawsuits going here in Alabama, you know, trying to get Obama thrown off the ballot, Judge Lee wouldn't even let me present my evidence. She the judge said, I'm going to get rid of Obama because he's black like she is.
Now, I'm assuming this happened in closed chambers?
Well, in closed chambers with a witness. I had my friend Terry in there with me, and she was taking notes.
What I can tell you is, one, if you oppose Obama on anything, you're going to be called a racist. I don't have to justify my background to anyone, but I can tell you that there are times when I have risked serious physical harm to aid an African-American who was under attack by people who truly were racists.
Mark, so I'm half Cuban. My mother came here from Cuba in 1961. Yo soy medio cubano. Okay?
So the bottom line is that people can say whatever they want to about those who bring up this information on Obama. Calling someone a racist is just a knee-jerk reaction from a group of people who, frankly, are more responsible for racism than any group of people on the planet. From the days of LBJ, white liberals have done everything they can to keep African Americans dependent on the United States welfare programs, and they do that because they see it as a way to control their vote. So they're the racists, not us. I don't give a damn what they call us. I mean, they can say whatever they want to. And, you know, the bottom line is, the new definition of racist anyway, Al, is anybody who's winning an argument with a liberal. So I don't worry about these guys.
The sister, my mouth dropped, dude, okay? She's sitting there saying, but you want me to take Obama, you want to do this because he's black like me. I actually said, here, this is my grandfather's green card. I'm Cuban, okay? Like I said, yo soy medio cubano.
What I could tell you is that pretty much most of the Cubans I know understand what it's like to hold liberty precious, and that's why in the voting you see a wide gap between Cubans and other Hispanics with regard to whether they vote for the left or the right, because as one of my Cuban friends who happens to be a doctor said to me one time, Mark, we've seen this shtick before. We know the ending of this movie. We've seen it before. We've lived it. So I certainly understand as a Cuban why you would feel the way you do. But the bottom line is, you know, these people are going to call us names. You and I have the skin that's thick enough to handle that. Apparently, the people like Alan West, who ironically once dodged bullets for a living, is too big of a wuss to handle someone calling him a birther. I mean, if somebody calls me a birther, I always ask, what is a birther? What does that mean? Are you saying
Obama was born in a... The fact still remains, though. I mean, you know, to have a judge tell me that in her chambers, that I'm going to, because she's black, like, give me a break, lady, please.
Well, I've had people say that too. I mean, the race card. They've got a couple of things going. They've got the race card. They now have birther as an insult, and of course, they like talking about the war on women. Right now, Obama's Department of Homeland Security, I think, spent something like $2 million on targets, where they actually have young women and young mothers on these targets. They're called no hesitation targets. So they can say Republicans are declaring a war on women, but it's Obama's Department of Homeland Security that is having their agents trained by shooting at targets that have young women on them. So, but here's the bottom line for everyone listening. We're going to be posting a number of things that Al sends us. And Al is not, as we've already said, he's not asking you to believe anything. And I've disagreed with Al during this show. I've quoted some things that Susan Daniels has said. I shouldn't say Republicans because they're wimps too. But that's what conservatives do. We challenge each other. We challenge our ideas. And we say, we don't expect you to believe any of this. Check it out for yourself. So Al, you know, being true to his word, is going to give us some links to look at. And I would encourage you to do that. And I would encourage you to draw your own conclusions.
Go to my blog, Obama Hustle.
Okay.
Everything's right there.
Okay, what's the full URL there?
www.theobamahustle.wordpress.com.
Okay.
Everything is on that.
We'll put a link to that, too, to make it easy for him. Okay, Al, we're out of time. I want to thank you for being here today. And you said you wanted a chance to come on the show and tell your side of the story. Hopefully you feel that I've done that. I want to see what you've got to tell us on the tax fraud.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to say, when you do this interview, you've got to get Jerry Corsi in on this, too. I mean, because Jerry Corsi's got this stuff down to a T.
Okay, well, you guys can come on together. In fact, I've been kind of missing Jerry Corsi because Jerry kind of dropped out on us, man. I don't know what happened to him. He was talking about this stuff every single day.
He's got some issues, and plus he was writing a new book. And I also wanted to say this, too. I challenge anybody to prove that FOIA wrong, because they can't.
Okay, and we're going to be posting that. Al,
it's
a pleasure to have you on the show. Even though those of us who are in this movement occasionally disagree with each other on certain points, it's safe to say we're all on the same side. And
Susan Daniels is a patriot. God bless Susan Daniels. God bless Leslie Bishop Paul. God bless Jerry Corsi. God bless Mike Zullo. I mean, God bless everybody. Sheriff Joe, God bless you.
Okay.
I mean, it's we all want what we want most of anything else is our country back.
Absolutely. I want to thank you for being here today, and I want to remind everybody that we will have a show coming up, and I'm going to try to schedule it with both Al and Jerry Corsi so we can talk about this real estate / tax fraud thing. And we've also got Jerry Corsi coming up in a week or so to discuss his new book, Bad Samaritans, and that's going to be a separate interview, but we've got Jerry coming on to talk about that as well. Al, once again, thanks for being here. Best of luck to you, my friend.
God bless you, sir.
God bless you too, Al, and I want to remind everybody who has not done so, if you'd like to see a congressional investigation of Barack Obama's eligibility to be president, please go to congressdoyourjob.com and sign the petition. Once you've signed it, please pass it on to your friends and ask them to sign it as well. Thank you very much. Look forward to having you back real soon.
You've been listening to the Tea Party Power Hour with Mark Gillar.